Hi, I'm Francesca, a registered nutritional therapist, and welcome to the Empowered Perimenopause podcast. This is a space for down-to-earth, honest conversations about what's really going on in your body in your 40s and how to support yourself through it. If you're feeling a bit out of sync, overwhelmed, or just not quite like yourself, you're in the right place. So let's get into today's episode. Hi, and welcome back to another episode with me, your host, Francesca. So I've had quite a few questions recently about HRT, and honestly, I can completely understand why, because there's a lot of noise out there right now, a lot of confusion, mixed messages, there's different opinions, different experiences, there's new guidelines being discussed, and for a lot of women, it's leaving them feeling more confused than ever. And one listener reached out with some really thoughtful questions that I think will resonate with a lot of you listening. So I wanted to create this episode today to just calmly unpack what the research now says. We'll cover what HRT actually is, why women can have such different experiences with it, what's changed in the guidance in the US, and most importantly, how to think about it in a way that feels informed and clear and right for you. And whilst the US guidelines, the Food and Drug Administration, FDA's recent decision is, of course, US-based, it is expected to influence UK practice indirectly through the British Menopause Society and the NICE guidelines. So it is still very impactful. Before we get into it, just to say, I'm not a medical doctor, so I can't prescribe or advise anyone on HRT. But what I can do is help you understand the research, your options, and the bigger picture, so you can have a more informed conversation with your GP or specialist. So let's start with the basics. So you might hear the terms HRT, MHT, or simply hormone therapy, and they're often used interchangeably, which adds to the confusion. But traditionally, HRT, hormone replacement therapy, is what we tend to use today and what we read about. Or if we're speaking to doctors, it's usually HRT. And the thing with HRT is that it refers to replacing hormones, so estrogen and progesterone, once the ovaries have stopped producing them, so after menopause. But MHT, so that's menopause hormone therapy, is now the preferred term, but it's just not that widely used. But the reason that it's the preferred term is because it better reflects what's actually happening for many women, particularly in perimenopause. We're not necessarily at the stage where we're looking to replace our hormones. They haven't quite gone yet, but we may just need some hormone therapy to help us get through perimenopause, because you're often still producing hormones. They're just not as consistent and not in the amount that our body would really thrive on, not in the optimal levels that we had, you know, in previous years and previous decades. So in perimenopause, rather than thinking about replacing hormones, we're often thinking about topping them up to support how we feel mentally and physically as we move through the transition. So that's where HT is probably, you know, a better way to describe it, or MHT, menopause hormone therapy. And importantly, a lot of experts now do agree that it's not too early to consider hormone therapy if symptoms are there, just because you're not actually at menopause itself. So that is good news. But that, I think, as well, is where a lot of the confusion is, because a lot of us will think, well, we'd only look at hormones after menopause, right? But actually, no, a lot of experts do now agree it's not too early to start during perimenopause itself. So a listener mentioned that one of her friends started hormone therapy at 42 and she feels amazing, while one of their friends tried it and came off it pretty soon because she didn't feel good. And that's actually really common, because hormone therapy isn't one size fits all. There could also be other reasons for this, where the person maybe wasn't feeling good initially, but potentially could have settled after a few months, and maybe they came off it earlier than that. Or maybe they did. I don't know how long this person was on it for. So maybe they did try the first few months and just couldn't bear it and came off. And yeah, you know, there isn't a one size fits all. We are all different. For example, if someone's estrogen and progesterone levels are already declining, then adding in the right support can feel transformative. And maybe that's what the 42-year-old listener, that was her experience, where she had very low levels already compared to somebody else at 42. And so by her putting them in, it was amazing for her. But if someone still has sufficient levels of estrogen, because in perimenopause, sometimes we have higher levels of estrogen than we've ever had before, And for many women, estrogen doesn't start declining until much later, maybe late 40s. And so if someone's estrogen is already sufficient, adding in estrogen may not work for that person. It may be that they only needed to add in progesterone, for example, because that's probably already declining. That declines first. But maybe this, you know, some person is adding in estrogen when they have sufficient estrogen, they're given more, and then particularly without understanding what's really going on hormonally for them, it can then make them feel worse, not better. And in early perimenopause, estrogen is fluctuating. It's not necessarily low. It's on a roller coaster, while progesterone is that hormone that tends to decline first. So in some cases, it's not about needing everything. It might just be needing that right support at the right time, which for that person who it didn't work for, they may have just needed progesterone to start with, and estrogen could have followed later. I also want to touch on something that's been coming up more recently, and that's the updated guidance coming out of the US. So you might have seen headlines suggesting that HRT is now becoming recommended more broadly, or that previous guidance was based on misunderstood research. And while there's truth in that, I do want to explain it in a way that feels more grounding than alarming, because I think there's a lot of alarmist headlines out there. You know, we were given the wrong information, now look. So let's just go through it. So for a lot of years, HRT was approached very cautiously. And that largely came from a study called the Women's Health Initiative that was published in the early 2000s, around 2001. The results were widely interpreted as showing increased risks from using HRT, particularly around breast cancer and heart disease. And of course, that's created a lot of fear over the years. It's left a legacy. But over time, as researchers have looked more closely at that study, they've realized a few really important things about it. The women in the study were on average older. Many of them were well past menopause age, past their own menopause. Some were starting HRT quite late, you know, so that they were in their 60s, for example, and they reached menopause more than 10 years before. And the types of hormones that we use were different to what we commonly use today in hormone therapy, which we'll talk about in a moment, body identical forms. They weren't used. It was types of hormones that we don't really use today. So what we now understand is that timing matters, the type of hormone matters, and the individual health context matters as well. And more recent guidance is reflecting this. It's not saying everyone should take HRT. Now we know that study was flawed. Everyone should run out and take it. Although that's what the headlines are sort of saying. It's saying we can move away from a blanket fear-based approach and instead look at individual risk and benefit, case-by-case basis. And for many women, especially those in perimenopause or early menopause, they've just gone that 12 months without having a period and they've moved into postmenopause, the balance can be very different to what was once believed. So if you felt confused by the shift in messaging, that is completely understandable. But rather than thinking, oh, everything's changed overnight, it's more accurate to see this as an evolution of our understanding. And that's just not really what's been put out there in headlines. So another really important piece here is the type of hormones being used, as I just touched on. So today, what's considered the gold standard for estrogen and progesterone therapy is body identical hormone therapy. This means that estrogen and progesterone that we are now being prescribed for using have the same molecular structure as the hormones that your body naturally produces. Estrogen is delivered through the skin as a gel, a patch, or a spray. And then progesterone is known as micronized progesterone. And that's usually a small capsule because the progesterone molecule is very big and it gets broken down or sort of micronized into a small capsule. And this is very different to the synthetic hormones used in the contraceptive pill. And that distinction really matters because the pill works by switching off your natural hormone production. It switches off the brain to ovary communication link, which is the whole sort of premise of what the pill is supposed to do. It's supposed to block your chances of becoming pregnant. It is a contraceptive pill. And so it stops menstrual cycles, essentially, which means you're now no longer making your hormones. Whereas body identical hormone therapy is working with your body. It's supporting or topping up what's already there. What you're already making naturally, it's just supporting it. It's just topping it up with this bio body or body identical form. so molecularly exactly the same as the two hormones you make in your body. That is really, really important. A listener mentioned that she's quite sensitive and didn't tolerate the pill well, which is really common. I've certainly had this experience in my 20s when I first went on the pill. And she's wondering if HRT would feel the same. And this is, I hear this all the time. Women saying, but when I took the pill as a teen or early 20s, I had a horrible experience. You know, my mood was all over the place. My skin broke out. I was bloated. I felt awful. I don't want to go on HRT because I don't want to experience the same thing. And so this is a really important question. I love that it gets asked because many women assume they'll react in the same way and that it's the same thing, but it's not the same thing. And therefore they often don't react in the same way. And that's again, because the type of hormones is different. So the non-body identical forms of estrogen and progesterone, which is known as progestins, they're not made molecularly the same. So they behave differently in the body. They're not recognized in the same way in the cell as the body identical forms. Even though I'm saying that the body identical forms of estrogen and progesterone that we use today is great because it's body identical, there is still a chance of sensitivity. That's definitely a real thing as well, just in a different way. So I hope that makes sense. And it may mean starting low, going slow, and working with someone who really understands how to tailor this to you, you know, a real menopause specialist doctor who really has dedicated now their career full time to menopause itself. And so they can really understand how to tailor it to you. And a client recently asked, does every woman need hormone therapy? And the answer is, you know, this is a choice. For some women, it can be incredibly supportive. For many women, it is. It improves symptoms, offers protective benefits for things like bone, brain and heart health, which is the three big sort of main concerns and risks as we start to lose estrogen. For others, it just might not feel right, or it may not be appropriate based on their medical history, which is what they would discuss with their menopause specialist. And both of those are valid. You know, whether if you just don't want to, if it doesn't feel right, I hear a lot of women say, but menopause is a natural phase and I don't want to change it. You know, I do want to allow my body to go through menopause and not have those hormones again. And that's how I want things to be. And that's fine. No one should ever tell you that you shouldn't want that for yourself. But on the flip side of that, many women are completely aware that it's a natural phase, but they just want to put those hormones in and have that support so they can continue for, you know, decades with optimal levels of those hormones and just feeling as best as they can. Both of those are valid. It's not about pressure, and no one should ever pressure you either way. It's about having the information to decide what's right for you. So you might also have heard that you can only take HRT for 10 years or that you should delay starting it for as long as possible. These are some myths that I hear all the time. The truth is there isn't a fixed cutoff according to the research. For a lot of women, hormone therapy can be taken long term as long as the benefits continue to outweigh any risks. This is what the research is saying. And that's something that should be reviewed individually with your menopause specialist doctor. And I do just want to gently touch on breast cancer risk, because there is, of course, a lot of fear around this. And my mum passed away from breast cancer about 14 years ago. And of course, you know, this is just a huge risk for women, whether it's in the family or not, but more so if it's in the family. So what we now understand is that the risk is influenced by a lot of different factors. The type of hormone that's used matters. Body identical progesterone appears to have a different risk profile to using synthetic progestogens, which you would find, for example, in the pill. And what a doctor would look at with you is overall risk. Things like alcohol intake, weight, and lifestyle habits can have an equal or even greater impact on a person's risk. That doesn't mean that risk should be ignored, but hormone therapy, but it does mean it should be put into context rather than creating fear. So again, these are conversations to have with your doctor who has interpreted the research, who is looking at the latest research and constantly evolving with it. I say that because not all doctors can have that time to do their sort of continued professional development and keeping up with all the latest research with menopause, if, for example, they're also very, very busy dealing with lots of other sides of health. They're a general practitioner, for example. And this is why I think a menopause specialist doctor is very important, because they have moved into a specialism now. They're only focused on menopause, and therefore they are going to have that time and inclination to be looking at the new research and evolving with it and sitting with you and having that one-to-one, you know, case-by-case evaluation with you and your own unique situation. So my own personal story with hormone therapy so far, so about a year ago, so I was 45 and a half at the time, I was experiencing some really awful symptoms that I was relating to low estrogen levels. And I was thinking, why would I have such low estrogen right now at 45? I wouldn't have thought it would be that low. But I've been keeping an eye on my hormones, my hormone levels for many, many years. So I had years of patterning that I could go back to and refer to and look and see everything's just coming down and down and down. For me, it was specifically estrogen, DHEA, and testosterone. They were just declining and declining and declining over years. It was a pattern I was seeing in all of the testing that I was doing. And I was doing things like cycle mapping with the Dutch test, where you're testing urine every day across a cycle. So you're not just getting a one snapshot in time of what your levels are, you're actually seeing it across every day for a whole cycle. And every time I was getting my DHEA and testosterone tested, which don't necessarily fluctuate across the cycle, they are pretty much stable. Again, they were declining over time. So my picture was looking like my adrenal glands were also not doing so well with regards to stress response and cortisol levels being dysregulated. And that seemed to be impacting my body's ability to make those hormones that I really wanted, like estrogen, DHEA, and testosterone. And then my symptoms matched that. So together with that picture, I worked with a hormone specialist doctor called Dr. Mandy. I can't remember her surname off the top of my head right now, but I'm going to put a link to her in the show notes because I think she's wonderful. And she's a UK-based menopause specialist doctor registered with the British Menopause Society. And so I took all of this to her and we had a long chat, about 90 minutes, because as a private specialist doctor, she has that time to speak with you for that long and really take your own unique personal case into account. And so we had this conversation and we decided from there that I was going to start on estrogen and progesterone, very low dose estrogen and the normal dose of progesterone, because you should never be given estrogen by itself. That's another thing the research states. You always want to balance that out with progesterone. You can start progesterone on its own, according to the research, but not the other way around. And so for me personally, it's been extremely helpful. However, one thing I always say is it's never just a one tool fixes all. You know, the work that I do as a nutritional therapist is I am always working with nutrition, lifestyle, supplementation to support a person's health and to help them to thrive and to get to the root cause of what might be driving their symptoms. Even if it is because they're in perimenopause, there's still root causes that we need to address, because perimenopause is just the highlighter. It just highlights what imbalances were already there. And that was the case for me. So I had to work on all of those things at the same time. But putting in that low dose estrogen at the age of 45 and some progesterone for me personally was very helpful. Now, most of the people I know around that age, my friends, clients, they don't necessarily need that. Their levels are still okay. But that was my own unique story. And so for me, it's not HRT, it's HT, it's hormone therapy. It's just topping up the levels that I'm still making that aren't as robust. So, and I was also experiencing, of course, as I'm in perimenopause, the roller coaster of estrogen, which is with me having already declining levels and the roller coaster nature of it, it was adding fuel to my fire. So for me personally, it has been very helpful, very low dose estrogen still, and a nice dose of progesterone. To bring this all together, if you're feeling confused about hormone therapy, HRT, you're definitely not the only one. There's been a lot of mixed messaging, and that's slowly evolving as we understand more. So HRT can be helpful for some women, but as I said, it's not the whole picture. Whether you choose to use it or not, your nutrition, your lifestyle, and how you support your body day to day still matters significantly. This applies to me too. So yes, whilst I saw the doctor and we spoke about me adding it in, estrogen and progesterone, and it has helped me, I never drop the ball on my nutrition, my lifestyle, the supplementation I know that I need that supports me, ever. My sleep, you know, managing stress, looking after my nervous system. I can never ever drop the ball on those things, whether I'm using HRT or not. And this is where a lot of people may not have a positive experience with hormone therapy. And then they'll think, oh, this doesn't work for me. Maybe because if they worked on their nutrition and their lifestyle and their sleep and their nervous system support, before they started hormone therapy, it may have been a different experience for them. But again, this isn't about pushing using hormone therapy. Like I say, not everybody needs it. Not everybody wants it. It's just to give you, hopefully, clear, clarity-driven picture and to show you, you know, it's not about choosing one path. It's about understanding your options and making a decision that feels informed, supported, and right for you. So if you're unsure what your next step is, then I would say having a conversation with a menopause-informed GP. Like I said, I'll link in the show notes to the lady that I use, but there's plenty of other menopause specialist GPs you can find out there as well, who can guide you based on your individual needs. And they're not pushing anything. They're looking at you as a person. They're also hearing what you want, as opposed to saying, here you go, one size fits all, or just blanket no. You're too young, you know, or something like that. So it is very important that you choose the right person if it is something you want to talk about. This may just be something that you're listening to thinking, okay, I'm going to bank this for later. If and when I feel ready to talk about hormone therapy, I now have the information that the new guidelines are stating that it's safe because it's a different form that was used in the, you know, really terrifying research of the 2000s. And it's been shown to be safe and effective. And, you know, I'll bank this for later. So either way, I hope this has been helpful. And if you do have any questions for me, please feel free to reach out. You can email me or drop me a message on Instagram, whatever works. And I would love to hear from you. So thanks for listening and I'll see you next time. Bye-bye. If you enjoyed this episode and you're wanting a bit more support, there's a few ways I can help you. You can take my free perimenopause quiz, join my Midlife Thrive membership, or work with me one-to-one, and I'll leave all the details in the show notes. And if this episode resonated, I'd love you to share it with someone who might need to hear it too. Thank you so much for being here. It really means a lot. And I'll see you in the next episode.